okay? Hello?
Can I hear you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay, now what is your name?
Alan
Nicholson. Oh, 1 second.
That's me.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing, so just hold on to the phone now.
Mr. Smith, can you hear me?
Yeah.
First of all, did you see us on the screen?
No, that's why I didn't know, to pick up the phone, because it's
black. Well, that answers that. We were trying to figure out why we couldn't get your attention. Anyways, we'll get started with the hearing properly. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Adam Eagle Smith, 299-789.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the 3 alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. Did you sign that form, ma'am?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you while you're representing yourself today. Ms. Smith?
Yeah.
Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Before we get started, I need to point out that also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Westby, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Ms. Smith and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Smith, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with Phase 2 deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
And keep in mind there's a separate motion that passes this hearing from Phase 1 to Phase 2. I'll begin Phase 1 of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal division company as follows. Allegation number 1. Violation of condition number 2 is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to your CHC programming classes on September 27th, 2018, October 4th, 2018, and October 11th, 2018. Ms. Smith, is this true or false?
It's true, but I talked to my parole officer about it. I started working at Jack in the Box, and I told him that my schedule had to change or I had to take different classes, and he said that he'll work on it, but he never did.
Okay. We'll continue with the other 2 allegations. Allegation number 2 is violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 15, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 19, 2018. Ms. Smith, is this true or false?
True.
Okay, and allegation number 3, violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2519 East 5th Street, Tempe, Arizona, on or about October 15, 2018 without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're absconded from supervision. Ms. Smith, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you. I'm going to make that motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two, and that is based on Ms. Smith's admission. I move to find her delinquent that she violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and that she may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Smith, we're going to continue the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, the Community Corrections Officer, is going to give the board additional background about your case. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, ma'am?
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Westby.
Ms. Smith was released from Arizona Department of Corrections on September 5th, 2018. She was arrested February 10th, 2019 by Mesa PD for removal charges. She's back in DOC custody on February 10th, 2019, with adjusted community supervision ending of August 2nd, 2019, 118 of sale days. Current conviction, 2016, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1.5 years. His prior convictions in 2015 for theft, 10 months. 2015, burglary, second degree, 4.5 years. This is her second term in DOC. CUIR score 4-4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information note, she's a member of Linwood Park's Crips, Phoenix Criminal Street Gang. She has no prior terms of supervision. Her disciplinary violations are moderate, disorderly conduct, threats, violence, and sex acts noted. However, after her return to DOC on February 19, 2019, she received disciplinary for disrupting count and being out of place. She has under arrest 2009 robbery, Arizona juvenile probation, 2010 burglary, third degree, Arizona juvenile probation, 2012 ag assault on a peace officer, Arizona juvenile detention, 2013 theft means of transportation, Arizona guilty under sanction. Community risk score is a G5B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Ms. Smith. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to reside at 2519 East 5th Street, Tempe, Arizona. This was your last known address. You were missing from community supervision for 118 days. So where were you living during that time, ma'am?
An address that I provided to my parole officer to get changed from 2519 East 5th Street. I actually talked about him and he wrote it down. He said that he was going to go to his supervisor to get it approved because that's what had to happen. I informed him that I wouldn't be successful at that residence. And he said that it would take time or whatever, and I stayed there 2 weeks, you know. And then I actually have emails that he would talk to my uncle and I don't know, just talk about like little things that I was doing that wasn't really affecting my parole. Like I was working on getting a job and all that, but I don't know. I did talk to him about it and he did write down the address and I even asked him what would happen if I did abscond or whatever. And he told me that as long as I didn't get any charges, I was good.
Okay, ma'am. And where were you living, though, after...
It was literally not even... It was in the same complex as that area. And my family saw me every day, like, everything. 506 South, Evergreen Road.
In Tempe?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you find work?
Yes, I did. Where, I had 2 jobs, actually.
Where were you working?
I worked at Jack in the Box, like on Price University, or Price in the 101. And then I had a job at Easy Pack on Kyron Road and Baseline.
Well, I certainly commend you for working. It's always good to see people productive when they come out of the Department of Corrections. We have some programming notes that you were assigned a task for random urinalysis. You had a positive for THC or marijuana on September 17, 2018, and then on October 15, 2018, you failed to provide a sample. On September 18th, you referred to CHC for drug use. You completed the CAP-CHC screening and were assessed for 30 sessions. You failed to report to CAP on, again, September 27th, October 4th, and October 11th.
That had everything to do with transportation.
Okay.
I was doing everything on my own. Like, I didn't have my family didn't want to do anything. They wanted me to learn everything on my own. So that all had everything to do with transportation, but I talked to Joshua about it.
Gotcha. So did you get a marijuana card when you were out?
Yes, I actually did. After that first negative or positive QA, I actually did get my medical card.
There's a thought note about behavior during intake. It said you claim to be upset due to the lobby officer not pronouncing your first name right.
He did not pronounce my name right, and then I asked him just to call me Smith because I had been called that for the last 4.5 years, and he took it offensive as if I was coming at him aggressively, but I really wasn't. And when he asked me to come forward, he told me to pull my pants up. I pulled my pants up, and then he was like trying to talk to me about, you know, I was already irritated at the time, so I stayed quiet, and then he told me to step out because I wanted to talk to him, and I stepped out, and I stayed there. I could have left, but I stayed there and just followed through and met with my PO and everything.
I want to make sure that I understood you right. Did you say pull your pants up?
Yeah, because I was sagging.
I was going to ask if you were sagging.
He told me, like, to read the sign, and, you know, so I read the sign or whatever, and then I pulled my pants up, and then, like, I had an attitude, but I didn't want to disrespect him, so I stayed quiet, and he took that offensive, so he told me to step out, and I stepped out.
Okay, so the way I heard you, it sounded like you tried to maintain contact with your parole officer, but you absconded for 118 days, so why did you eventually break off with your parole officer?
Well, honestly, like, I told him that I wouldn't be successful at that residence because, like, my aunt, and I felt like they were waiting for me to mess up, you know? Like, they were, every day, like, everything that I did, like, they would just wait for me to mess up, and, like, they counted out back to prison. But I was just trying so hard, and it was like, they were nitpicking on the little things, like me going out and, like, trying to, like, live a little, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even drinking or smoking or none of that, because I didn't even do any of that until, like, you know, like, after when I needed to, like, calm down or whatever, you know? But I told him that, and he said, okay, we'll work on it. But he kept, like, pushing me to stay at that residence because he said it's a lot of work for him to find a halfway house or for me to go anywhere else, you know? So I was just like, whatever. He said it's better to stay with family. And I kept telling him, like, look, I'm not going to be successful here. And while I was on the run, honestly, like, that's the longest I've ever been out of trouble. Like, I've never stayed out longer than that time, you know? So I don't know.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had some improvement. What caused the Mesa Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconding warrant?
Honestly, you won't believe me, but it was jaywalking.
Was that at night?
Well, it was like early in the morning because, like, I didn't have a ride to get to work, so, like, I take the light rail and I, like, have to walk a little bit, you know?
I see.
I would like to take the light rail early so that I can get to work on time.
Well, thank you, Ms. Smith. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Hold on 1 second. We have some information from our our community corrections officer, Mr. Westby. Yes, Mr. Westby.
Yes, we really wanted to see what the information was regarding an address that she had provided to her PO that was supposed to be investigated, and she was supposed to report back from the parole office here on October 24th, 2015.
He never spoke to me. He always spoke to my uncle, and they would send like emails because I went to the computer room and I saw like all these emails. Like, he never really would talk to me. He would just talk to my uncle, and my uncle would tell him all types of things. Like, he never directly told me that I had to meet with him or when. Like, I would literally just show up at the parole office on my own just because I didn't want to get violated.
So, Ms. Smith, I'm not going to accuse you of not telling us the truth, but it's been my experience that the parole officers talk to the parolees, so to speak, directly. It wouldn't seem that the communication is through a third party. So, hold on, ma'am. I'm going to ask Mr. Westby if there's, are there any notes of the parole officer talking to her uncle?
It's in the neighborhood of the family residence, uncle Bassus Lindsay. Stated that they were not working out well at home. February was in the hospital. It was on the further statement under there's a conversation with the aunt. The rest of the conversation here is regarding the offender. Said she had no police contact, contact course for fines and fees, discussed cost supervision fees, said compliance with tasks, said the federal labor and drinking alcohol and smoke marijuana. The federal said she did not drink alcohol and smoke marijuana. That was the federal sponsor said she may have been drinking. Then the federal said she did not drink alcohol and smoke marijuana. Upon further questioning, the federal said she did smoke marijuana a few weeks ago. There is no information here regarding her medical marijuana card, if they received it, or if they did get approval from the manager for her to be allowed to smoke marijuana. And then it says the federal's not on sanctions at this time. Next report date will be October 23rd, 2018 in office. So that was the conversation that they had with Ms. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Any questions from our fellow board members? Okay, Ms. Smith, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion?
In your eyes, you know, I'm a convicted felon, so, I mean, you have to do whatever you have to do, you know, so...
Okay, ma'am. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it's the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone and listen in, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I certainly appreciate how direct Ms. Smith was in discussing her situation with the board. I do like hearing that she was working while she was on community supervision, and it sounds like that she was able to stay out of trouble otherwise. Unfortunately, she absconded from supervision for 118 days, and we just could not monitor her behavior in the community. I certainly hope that she did get a medical marijuana card to stay out of trouble in the future. But for now, I am not finding her a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision. That's where we'll begin the discussion. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W3080. Our discussion with Ms. Smith, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to find Ms. Smith was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of her supervision. Well, pardon me, I think I got ahead of myself. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Smith was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal razor company, inasmuch that she absconded for 118 days and could not monitor her behavior in the community, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, moved upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Mr. Smith, God, I keep saying Mr. and I'm sorry, I'm absolutely fixated with the mail version of our document, but Ms. Smith, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on August 2nd, 2019, which is a little bit more than 4 months away. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last months to put together a plan for your return to the community. And we do wish you a safe and productive return. It sounds like that you can hold work. Hopefully you have some support in the community, and we certainly want to see you do well. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and just for the record, Ms. Smith walked away from the phone before I could finish reading the last sentences, so this will bring our hearing to a close.